Yeah, welcome back to Drive with Joel and Fletch. Today, Brett Finch, brought to you by CoinSpot, Australia's most secure way to buy and sell crypto. Swainy has been along for the journey, and he's been on fire, in fact, Finchie. And I'm pleased to say from Stan Sport, Andrew Swain's on the line. G'day, Swainy.
Yeah, g'day, boys.
Mate, your form is tying in with the Wallabies. You've been in outstanding form. The Wallabies are on fire.
Yeah, they're playing pretty well, aren't they? And now I guess the big challenge for them, and it is always the case, once you have a couple of big wins on the trot, keeping that consistency and not letting any complacency creep in. And against Argentina, you know, classic banana skin game, that is the big danger this week. But I think the Wallabies have the game plan and the smarts to be able to get around that.
In your eyes, Swainy, the last 2 weeks, is it been out of the blue? Were you expecting it? Is the consistency of it, like where are they at, the Wallabies?
Well, I think it's probably a number of factors. One of the factors is that no other team has to play the All Blacks more than we do.
Yep.
So that's one thing, right? And so we played three tests, really hard test matches against the All Blacks, and then come into a test match against South Africa, who, you know, they're on the back end of a pretty long campaign, have played against the British and Irish Lions, but they're still the world champions. And the Wallabies were just smart about it. Their coaching staff had the perfect game plan to take on a Springbok side that, you know, that has been described as boring, really. They kick, they defend, but they don't do a lot of attacking, even though they've got a lot of attacking weapons. So the Wallabies figured them out, and it was smart. You know, I think Quade Cooper coming in and Samu Karevi as well added a completely new dimension to their game. You know, just composure, experience, and a bit of a hard edge as well. You know, the forward pack really muscled up. They were fitter. So I think you combine all those factors, and you know, that probably the writing was on the wall for the Springboks. They were always going to come up against a really hard Wallabies team. This Wallabies team is a very good Wallabies team now. As I said, the challenge now is to keep that consistency.
Yeah, well, you said kick and defend. Well, that sounded like Northern Hemisphere rugby when I was over in England. That's all they ever did was kick goals and defend. That made a change to a rule down here in Super 15 with that a half penalty or whatever, where you can't take kick at goals. So we're talking about new penalties, new rules, sorry. The introduction of the contact rule.
Yeah.
Explain that. Geez, I wish they brought this in rugby league when I was playing. Wish they could even bring it into games, the no contact. But what's, tell us more about this, Swainy, and what's it related to injuries that have been occurring?
Well, it sounds like they're going to train like we were in fourth grade subbies at colleagues a few years ago now in international rugby, which, you know, people will be cheering. But look, it comes down to the fact that, you know, a lot of injuries and a lot of concussions and a lot of head injuries sustained in rugby come through training. And so what they're looking to do now, World Rugby, is to limit the length of time that you can do contact training per week in minutes, basically, in minute terms. So I think it's, you know, down to half an hour a week you're allowed to contact train. I'll also limit the amount of set piece work that you can do, because, you know, particularly live scrummaging, that becomes, you know, quite a danger for head injuries and injuries just in general as well. So, look, I think that, you know, sport is going this way anyway with contact sport. And World Rugby have always been very, you know, they've been world leaders in trialing new ways of protecting the players. But I just don't know, and Dave Rennie said it this week as well, I don't know who's going to be sitting there with a stopwatch and actually timing professional.
I would be if I was a player. Let me tell you. If I'm a player, that's it, boss. There's the 15 minutes.
Imagine Finchie, Swainy.
Mate.
Hey, Dave, just so you know, you've got 90 seconds.
Right. And you know what I'd be doing? What was me with, if we had a wrestle session in Melbourne, John Donoghue, you'd have an hour. I'd be asking a lot of questions there, Swainy. Well, it's probably, in terms of contact, is it scrums, tackling, or the rucks and mauls? Like, where are you? What are you going to work on there? Because there's so much different types of contact in rugby.
Yeah, well, that's right. And in, particularly in rugby union, with the breakdown being such an area of, that's where you win games at the breakdown. But B, it's such a technical area now. You know, I think coaches are going to have to be really smart about where they You know, they pool their resources, I guess, and put all their eggs in the tackling basket. I mean, when teams get to that level, at international level in particular, you'd expect guys to know how to tackle, right? Mm. But technically at the breakdown, that's such an area that you have to really work on and train. So I would suspect that in rugby union, the breakdown and rucking and mauling will be the area that will be a focus. Yeah, but you're right. Like, it's a really hard rule to get your head around now, and coaches are going to have to really do their homework and work out where they pull their resources.
And I'll tell you what, Swainy, rugby league will follow this. There's no doubt about it. I know in the NFL that they're hardly doing any contact these days either. Many of their stars don't even play in the trial games, if you call them that. But 35 to 40% of injuries, this has been reported in the Sydney Morning Herald, injuries happening at training. So almost 40% of injuries happening at training. But mind you, you spend a lot more time training than you do, in fact, playing. So there you go. Mm. What else is making news in rugby, Swainy?
Well, boys, tomorrow, the first of the double header up there at Queensland Country Bank Stadium, the 100th test between the All Blacks and the Springboks. It's a historic occasion. They first took each other on in 1921, so 100 years ago. It's the 100th test match, of course. And you know, they're basically, these two teams have had a classic arm wrestle over that 100 years for rugby supremacy. Both have been, for long periods of time, the number one team in the world. And, of course, also they've had the political side of things as well that's really, you know, divided and unified them at the same time. So, look, it's a huge occasion up there in Townsville. You know, who'd have thought that they'd be playing the 100th test match against each other in Townsville, of all places? But, yeah, that's going to be a really, really special one for both of those teams, the Springboks and the All Blacks. They're just two great adversaries. You know, things like the things that come to mind, like the 1995 Rugby World Cup, where it was the first time the Springboks were out of isolation, and Nelson Mandela hands Francois Pienaar the Webb Ellis Cup. Like, you know, that was against the All Blacks. They've had some amazing battles over the years. And look, the Springboks haven't been playing well, but I tell you what, they'll get up for this one.
Are you calling this one, Swainy?
Yeah.
Well done, mate.
A huge privilege as well. Huge privilege as well. Like, I'm a bit of a rugby nerd. I'm a bit of a rugby tragic. This is the biggest test match in world rugby. Wow. And it is an absolute privilege to be able to do it. So really looking forward to that one, gents.
Swainy, take us through your preparation. Like, how would you, you know, what have you got pages and pages of notes, or what's your general, everyone does it a little bit differently. Are you calling with binoculars, or are you off the screen? How do you normally like to do it?
Well, given the circumstances at the moment, we're not actually allowed to be there. Yeah. So it's, we're calling off the screen this week, which is kind of a shame because the atmosphere also always contributes to it. But look, I'm a manila folder guy, so I've got a manila folder. I write the team lists on both sides of the manila folder, and then I you know, carefully craft notes on each player, and then have you know, pages of documents of stats and things as well. But it's really you know, I write everything down, and then it kind of sticks in your brain. So yeah, it's something that you know, you kind of, it's a bit of a craft. You get used to it after a while. You have your own little idiosyncrasies. Everyone does, I'm sure. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one tomorrow, though. It's such a special occasion. And yeah, as I said before, feeling very privileged.
Swainy, I shared this with my boys the other day. There was a game when there was a field goal, and Ray Hadley actually gave me this advice. I'd called a game one day and they struck the field goal. And because of where you are sat in the commentary box, it's not ideal to see a ball go through the post, and I called it. Has he kicked it? Did he kick it? Has he missed it? You couldn't quite tell. And Ray Hadley told me something, which is a great tip for anyone calling at any level, is to not watch the ball, watch the player who kicked it, and they'll tell you the story whether they've kicked it or not. It was one of the great...
Or watch the fans behind. I tend to go to the
Oh, that's
fans
another one too, yeah.
Post, yeah.
How do you go about the field goal, Swainy? Do you do something similar?
Yeah, I watch the player. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If they turn and run back and put their arm in the air or whatever, you know they've got it. Mm. And then, you know, the referee as well, he's the classic one. They'll always put their whistle in the mouth and blow it. So, yeah, it's It is an interesting one, though. You're right. Sometimes it's a hard one to get the head out the window, or and you know, when you're calling off the screen, that's a hard one too, because you're kind of relying on the different camera angles as well.
Yes.
But my number one rule is if I'm not sure of it, don't say it.
Yeah, I should have taken that advice plenty of times when I haven't.
Yeah. So I go the other way, Swaney. I give it, and then in case it goes over, it's in the highlights package. Then after it, you can sort of undo it. But anyway, everyone's got their own little ways about doing it, and you get your way of doing it in a massive, massive game, mate. It must be, as you've said, it's a great privilege. Congratulations, Swaney, on that, and you go and call well.
Appreciate it, guys. Yeah, doubleheader on Stand tomorrow. It's going to be brilliant.
Well done. There's Andrew Swain, who's been a long way for the journey with us here at SEN, and we appreciate that. You can catch his dulcet tones on Stan. So we're looking forward to that, Andrew Swain. It's a doubleheader up there at Queensland Country Bank Stadium on Saturday night. After the break, a full preview of week 3 of the finals, and Brett Camorley will join us in about half an hour as well. Driver Joel and Fletch, and today Brett Finch, all thanks to Hyundai.